Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Acts chapter 16. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." This is the text. Christ is risen.
He is
risen indeed. Hallelujah. You may have noticed advertising already for the Summer Olympics. They are going to be held in Brazil this year. And you may have heard that Brazil's economy is not doing so well, as natural resources and oil are the primary movers of their economy. Well, I kind of follow economics just kind of as a hobby. I know I'm a little nerdy like that, but in 2010, the economy of Brazil was just rolling. I mean, that was the place where they were just awash in money. And a fellow named Ike Batista from Rio de Janeiro cracked the top 10 wealthiest people in the world. He made the Forbes 400 list at number 8. At the time, he was 53 years old and had assets in excess of $27 billion. He had made his fortune in the oil and mining industry. His father was a government official, and he got favorable contracts. Well, his level of wealth that year in 2010 increased by $19 billion. And I saw an interview with him. I read some articles on him, too. What jumped out at me over and over again was he was not content. He was not satisfied, and he stated that he would not be satisfied until he was number one on the list of Forbes' wealthiest people in the world. Well, I had mentioned this, I looked back in a sermon back in 2010, 6 years ago, and I've kind of kept tabs on Ike over the years. He shows up in articles every now and then. But even back in 2010, I looked at my sermon where I mentioned him, and my thought then is the same thought I had now. What a wasted opportunity. What a wasted life. You know, beyond the fact that his family life was a mess, and you know, he was not interested in doing charitable work at all. His only interest was being number one on the list. Here's a man who had no idea what true wealth really is. As Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, he's chasing after the wind. He will never be content. And that's what I said in a sermon six years ago. Well, had he gotten to number one, by the way, he never did, if his outlook on life didn't change, he still would find no contentment because he would live in the fear of dropping out of the number one slot. You could just see that it would never bring satisfaction. Well, I got a little update on Ike as I've paid attention to him over the years in his quest to be the wealthiest man in the world. In 2012, he moved up to number 7 on the list. His net worth peaked at $32 billion. In 2013, his company went bankrupt, and he was no longer a billionaire. In 2014, he had assets of negative $1.2 billion. He became a negative billionaire. He might be number one on that list. Why bring this up? We read in Acts that Lydia was a seller of purple, a very expensive and sought-after commodity, not only in the days of the apostles, but throughout much of human history. And the people of Thyatira, where she was from, were famed for their skill in the manufacture of purple dye. They extracted it from the madder root, and that was the technique used for purple dye up until the late 19th century when they created chemical dyes. Lydia, most likely, was wealthy. Most likely, she wasn't number 7 or 8 on the list of the wealthiest persons in the Roman Empire, but she wasn't doing bad. And there's archaeological evidence from Philippi, certain inscriptions which have been found that suggest that there was a guild of merchants, sellers of purple. And Lydia most likely was a member of that guild. And under Roman law, a woman could, she had the right to conduct legal transactions if she had never been a slave and was the mother of at least 3 children. Or if she had been a slave and been redeemed out of slavery, if she were the mother of 4 children, she could conduct official business transactions. And you thought we had strange commerce rules. Well, Lydia is someone who is a prominent character here in the church in Philippi. And she is a great role model. Not because she's this, wealthy woman doing man's work in a man's world. Her value as a role model is seen in how she is led to the Apostle Paul and how she conducts her family. Lydia was a Gentile from Thyatira, a town in, it was northeast of Ephesus in modern-day Turkey. Most likely, she learned of and became faithful to the living God while in Thyatira, as there was a strong Jewish presence in that region, numerous synagogues, as we know also from archaeology. She came to faith and went off to Philippi to conduct her business. Even though there was no active synagogue in that town, she made a point to gather with the other faithful women and did not let the day of the Lord go unnoticed. Some of our young members will finish various levels of schooling in the weeks ahead. And many people among us will perhaps no longer be living at home, possibly even departing Quincy. There's always the temptation to let the day of the Lord go unnoticed. We can always find other activities, especially when the weather gets warm and the sun is shining and our friends who are not among the faithful invite us to join them in other activities and to treat God's word as an afterthought. Thing is, when we get separated from God's family, it's amazing how easy it is to stay away and how quickly we allow ourselves to become spiritually alone. And that's just a really dangerous way to live. Lydia moved away from her home. There was no church, there was no synagogue for her to attend. In order to have a functioning synagogue, you have to have at least 10 Jewish men present. Well, Philippi is a Roman colony. There aren't the Jewish men there. All that Lydia and the others who were faithful to the living God had was a place of prayer outside the city. But she didn't make this an excuse not to do what she could to be engaged in worshiping the God that she cherished. And Paul finds her and the other faithful of Philippi, and the Lord opens her heart to hear the gospel, the good news of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of the Messiah that she had grown to cherish as she came to faith there among the Jews in Thyatira. Paul preaches Christ crucified, as he always did, the empty tomb, the promise of eternal life. This is the message that the people of God have always longed to hear. This is the message that God's servants have been sent to proclaim. Lydia receives this good news and is baptized. She and her household as well, we are told. Her children are with her at that place of prayer. Told you, she's a good role model. She has her children with her. She doesn't leave them at home with the servants. And when it says her household as well, who were baptized, it could be implied that this included servants also. We don't know. Her focus, though, is on being faithful to the Lord and seeing to it that not only she, but her household as well was baptized and counted among the faithful. She says, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." For all of her success in the business world, for all of her wealth, Lydia's sole concern is that her and her household are faithful, and that they are judged to be faithful to the Lord. God brought to Lydia a level of wealth greater than she had known before, greater than the wealth of all the sellers of purple. The wealth she had was wealth that Ikey Batista has never known, even when he was in the top 10. The faith of your baptism is a priceless treasure. Few words express praise to God for this gift, like the words that we just sang in our hymn. And there really are no words that can adequately give thanks to God for this priceless treasure. And so we sing, "I am content. At length I shall be free, awakened from the dead. The chains that hold my body sever. Then shall my soul rejoice forever. I am content. I am content." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.